Εικόνα Πουτζίνου Πράβου το Μαρατσαράνα. Εικόνα Πουτζίνου Πράβου το Μαρατσαράνα. Ashoka boyam retha puna sarvakana. Ashoka boyam retha puna sarvakana. Shakala chadiya tua charana kamale. Shakala chadiya tua charana kamale. Podiachi aminatha tavapada tale. Podiachi aminatha tavapada tale. Tavapada Padmanatha Rokibeya Mare. Tavapada Padmanatha Rokibeya Mare. Araraka karta nahi e bhava samsare. Araraka karta nahi भव संसारे अमिथव नित्यदासा जानिनु ए अमिथव नित्यदासा जानायु हे हमार फल न पारा एको न আমার ফল না পারা একো না তোমারা দুঃখ পাইয়াছি স্বতন্ত্র জীবনে বাধো দুঃখ পাইয়াছি স্বতন্ত্র জীবনে দুঃখ দূরে গেল ও পদবরানে দুঃখ দূরে গেল ও পদবরানে যে পদ লাগিয়া রাম তপস্যা করিলা যে পদ লাগিয়া রাম তপস্যা করিলা যে পদ পায়া শিব শিবত্ব লোভিলা যে পদ পায়া শিব Shivatva lobhila. Jepada labhiya brahma kritartha hoila. Jepada labhiya brahma kritartha hoila. Jepada narara muni hridaye dhorila. Se abhoy pada sirete doriya. Se se abhoy pada sirete doriya. Parama anande nachi pada guna gaya. Parama anande nachi pada guna gaya. Samsara vipada hote avasya udha. Samsara vipada hote avasya udha. Bhakati vinoda o pada kori beto ma. Bhakati vinoda o pada kori beto ma. E mona bhujinu prabhu tomara charana. Eko na bhujinu prabhu tomara charana. Ashoka boyamrita purna sarvakana. Ashoka boyamrita purna sarvakana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Bol. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, राम राम हरि हरि Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, everybody.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Haribo. Ekona Puchaino Prabhu Tomara Charana. Ekona bhujino prabho tomara charana. Ashoka Poyamrita Purna Sarvakana.
Hare Krishna. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm told that there is a Toyota Camry in our parking lot, number 713-2688, and it is parking somebody who has a family emergency. So they're about to call the towing company. We've been holding them back for the past 15 minutes. If this is your car, now would be the chance to go to move it, or you'll have to collect it from the towing company. 713-2688. It's a Toyota Camry, silver color. Please move your car as soon as possible. Thank you. And those devotees sitting here behind Maharaj, if you could somehow move such that Maharaj can see you. And this space here. There's so much more space here. Please move up. There are more guests coming in so they can have some space to sit.
Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militham Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदां मह्यं ददाति स्वापतन्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुथापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपां सागरजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं थं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्त राधा कान्त नमोस्ते ते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पथितानां भावनिभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम
Now I have understood, O Lord, that your feet, which dispel all sorrow and fear, are eternally full of sweet nectar. Surrendering myself and all I possess unto those lotus feet, I have laid myself down submissively under their shelter. Your lotus feet, O Lord, will certainly shelter me. There are no other protectors in this world of birth and death. At last I know myself to be your eternal servant. Now the burden of my maintenance is exclusively yours. In my life of independence from you, I have experienced nothing but misery. But now, upon accepting feet of yours, all my miseries have been cast far away. Desiring a place at your lotus feet, the goddess of fortune performed difficult austerities. Only after receiving your lotus feet did Lord Shiva attain his Shivatva, or quality of auspiciousness. Upon obtaining your feet, Lord Brahma had his desires fulfilled. Your feet are always held by the great sage Narada Muni within his heart. I now hold upon my head those very same lotus feet, which drive away all fear while I dance in great ecstasy and sing their glories. Your lotus feet will surely deliver Bhaktivinod from the perils of this worldly journey. I am especially grateful to be with all of you once again in the city of Chicago. I thank you very much. Chicago is a good place for understanding the subject I have been given for today's talk. Faith in Krishna as our protector. Thank you very much for being with us this evening. This song that we have sung is from a book that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, expressing his own feelings, his own realizations on the six processes of surrender. Humility, surrender, accepting the Lord as master, faith in Krishna as protector, accepting what is favorable for pure devotion, and rejecting what is unfavorable. Faith in Krishna as our protector is today's verse. In the association of people who have faith, faith is naturally awakened within all of us. Ado shradhu, ado shradhatata sadhu sangota pachadakriya. Faith in the Supreme is within the heart of every living being. In fact, nitya siddha krishna prema sadhya kabunoi. Love for God, love for every living being who is part of God is dormant within the heart of every living being. It is our integral nature, our greatest potential, and it is the ultimate goal that everyone is seeking. But unfortunately, we seek everywhere else except what it is. In today's world, there is so much propaganda that we will find happiness. We will find shelter from suffering through various temporary allurements. And it's amazing how subconsciously people believe it. We see on an advertisement someone using a particular type of soap and comes out of the shower and a very handsome husband is waiting. And they smile at each other. And then they go into the next room together and there's three little children and they're smiling and dancing around and embracing their parents. And then they get in their cars and they go off to work. And subconsciously you think, if I just use this soap, my husband's going to like me, my wife's going to like me, my children are going to be happy, and I'm going to be happy going to work. That's actually why they do this. To convince you that you'll find shelter through a car or through a fashion or through a particular type of position in society. But whatever we get, it just doesn't work. Somebody was telling me about a recent movie about George Harrison. And Shamsundar, who was one of his very, very dear friends, he told me, and the movie also, I believe George says it himself, when he was in his early 20s as one of the Beatles, he had millions of dollars, any car he wanted, the most beautiful possible model as a girlfriend. He had fame, he had unbelievable talent, he had every single thing anybody in this world could want. He was in good health, he was young. According to our analogy, he could afford any soap. And he explained, you know, when he first, naturally, when they first got started, they wanted fame. They wanted money. They wanted houses. They wanted nice cars. They wanted nice clothes. They wanted, you know, best doctors. They wanted these things with the promise of happiness. And when they had everything, they realized there was no happiness in any of it. And that's when he understood. This is where spirituality, this is where religion is absolutely necessary in life, to find what we're really wanting. But unfortunately, only a rare soul gives up the futile pursuit for real happiness through temporary situations. But all the great saints who have ever come to this world and all the avatars have taught us a simple thing. That our real happiness is in reconnecting with our own spiritual essence and learning how to love God. Learning how you can't have love without faith. Faith and love are very much interconnected on the spiritual platform. Because in order to seriously take to a spiritual process, we're disconnecting ourselves in a certain way from a particular conception that I'm this body and that satisfying this body and this mind is going to make me happy. There has to be a certain transformation, a certain change in our life. And in order to actually do that properly, we have to be convinced that it's the right thing, that there's something beyond. One time, my Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, he was sitting with the very highest leaders of our Krishna society. This was in about 1972. So they were all quite young and new. And he looked at all of them very seriously, penetratingly. He said, "Do you have complete faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead?" And he asked each one of them. And they couldn't tell a lie to Prabhupada because they saw he was seeing right into their hearts. So they were silent. None of them could say that they had complete faith. And Srila Prabhupada said, if the few people in this room had such faith, we could transform the whole world in 18 days. That is the power. Faith that the Lord is our protector. We understand that the sun is rising, staying in its orbit, the earth is turning, the moon is waxing and waning, the rains are falling, the seeds are growing. It's all happening by the master plan of the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Lord. In a particular verse in this book, Sharanagati, that Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, there's a song that begins, "Tumi Sarveshwareshwara Brajendra Nandana." That everyone is a controller to some extent. Some people think that we control the way we move our fingers, we control
where we go. Sometimes we have some control over other people. Sometimes we cannot control our own, the pushings of nature to go to the bathroom. So we all have some limited control, but it has very small limitations. But the Lord is the controller of all controllers. That is the definition of the Absolute Truth. That is the definition of Bhagavan, or Brahman, Parabrahman, the supreme controller of all controllers. He is Abhigya and Swarat, all-knowing and completely independent. And it is that one Absolute Truth who has created material existence, who has created the laws of nature, the laws of karma, and who have given us free will. Free will to choose to do the right thing or something else. But once we choose, we don't have free will of what the reaction's going to be. I have free will whether I put my hand in fire or not. But once I put it in fire, I don't have free will of whether it's going to burn or not. Recently, I flew on an airplane from Mumbai to London, and I had a connecting flight to Moscow. And when I got on the connecting flight to Moscow, we went in the runway, and I was thinking, we bought the ticket, we're going to Moscow. And they said, they made an announcement that a pump is not working properly, it will take us 5 to 10 minutes to fix. We're in the middle of runway, we can't go anywhere. And then an hour later, they said, the pump cannot be fixed, so we have to buy a new one. We have to go to the store. They said, we should have it done within a half hour. And then an hour later, they said, the store doesn't have. So we have an engineering crew who is surrounding the whole plane, and they're all working on it to fix it. And then about 2 hours later, we're all sitting there, they say, we have to turn off the air conditioning, we have to turn on everything, the lights. And then they said, we can't fix the pump. Your flight is canceled. So go through immigration, go through customs, get your bags, and find another flight to Moscow. And we hope next time you fly, you will choose British Airways. Okay. So anyways, I was supposed to be on television and radio in Moscow, so I had to get there. So finally I arrived at 6 in the morning in London, and finally I got a flight out at 10 at night. So then we're flying to Moscow. Now, if I told the airline hostess, I want to go to Chicago, she would say, well, you're going to Moscow. I'd say, I have free will. If I want to go to Chicago, I can go to Chicago. She would say, you have free will to get on whatever flight you get on. But once you're on the flight, you have no free will of where you're going. But you do have free will what you're going to do on the flight. You could behave yourself properly. I didn't say that, but we could say that. So we have free will. God gives us free will, but he's given us certain laws of nature where we are responsible for whatever we decide. Whatever words we speak, whatever actions we perform, there will be a reaction. As ye sow, so shall ye reap, the Bible says. For every action is an equal corresponding reaction. I left Mumbai, it was 90 degrees. And I was thinking spring in Moscow will be nice and cool. And when I arrived in Moscow, it was 1 degrees. And there was a massive snowstorm, blizzard, and about 6 inches of snow on the ground. And it was a very refreshing springtime experience I had at the end of April. No, at the end of March, the end of March. But we understand that ultimately the Lord is the controller of all controllers. And if we take shelter of the Lord will protect us. This is the basic, the foundation of all true spiritual paths. And that faith is very important in order for us to accept what's favorable for devotion and to reject what's unfavorable. And that is why association of people with faith is so important. Because Maya, or the illusory energy, and people and situations influenced by the illusory energy are always going to try to divert our faith. Because if our faith is diverted, our life is diverted away from our goal. And therefore we find so many incredible examples of faith. Bhaktivinoda himself, who is the author of these beautiful songs, he demonstrated it. He prays in these prayers with such incredible humility. Because without humility, we cannot really take shelter. As long as we're thinking, I can do it, is there any need to take shelter of anything or anyone? But when we feel helpless, then we really seek shelter. And great personalities, even if they are undefeatable champions or emperors of the world or the greatest scholars, they simultaneously feel helpless, dependent on the love, the grace, and the mercy of the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a family person. His wife, Bhagavati, and him, they had 10 children. And he was a magistrate during the British Empire in India. And he was so proficient, efficient, and so honest that they kept giving him the most important and difficult services that nobody else could do. And at one time, there was a man who was claiming to be an incarnation of God. He was living in the forest. He had supernatural powers. And this person, because of his supernatural powers, he could read people's minds, he could do all kinds of things that most people cannot do. He had a large following. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was getting reports when he was a magistrate that he was taking advantage of young women. He was taking people's money. He was creating a political revolution of getting people to fight to proclaim him to be the supreme. He was really a menace to society on every level. He was a cheater. But everyone was afraid of him. So while he was surrounded by followers, Bhaktivinoda came up to him and asked him certain questions and found that he was guilty of things and had him arrested and put in prison. And this person, he claimed to be Mahavishnu. He said, this is my leela, to be in prison. And he threatened Bhaktivinoda, if you don't let me out, because Bhaktivinoda was the judge in the trial, and he was going to go to trial. He said, if you don't let me out, your family will die and you will die. And sure enough, his whole family got sick. And his little daughter, or son, I don't remember, she got deathly sick. And Bhaktivinod developed an intense high fever the day of the trial. And everyone was saying, just let this man go, even his family. You know, our child's going to die. This man has incredible powers. And what about you? You're going to die. You have a high fever. You should be in a hospital. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wasn't a yogi in the mountains. He was a family man. But he had faith. He said, I have faith that Krishna will protect because I'm doing the right thing. I'm trying to protect society by the will of the Lord. So everything was happening like this, and he was on the verge of death, and his child was on the verge of death, and his family was sick, and people were really afraid, and there was a whole revolution of hundreds and hundreds of this man's followers right outside the courtroom, ready to attack and create a war. And Bhaktivinoda had faith that Krishna will protect. And then someone told Bhaktivinoda that this man has supernatural powers and he has long, long, long matted hair. And if you cut his hair, he'll lose his powers. So Bhaktivinoda went in and his hair started making all kinds of fire flying out of his hair and sparks. Now, how many of you would cut that person's hair? And people were running away when they saw sparks coming, and he was saying, I will kill you, I will destroy you. And Bhaktivinoda cut his hair. And then he just fell on the ground. And then everybody got better. And he made his decision in the courts. And then he was exposed. He didn't get a heavy sentence. But through the whole process, all of his own followers and everybody understood he was cheating. So here is a person with a big family, working an apparent worldly occupation, who had such faith. And that's what these songs are about. Not just fancy poems. From his heart, through his realizations. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. The true essence of knowledge, the real path of perfection, must be understood by examining the lives of the great saints. I'll speak from various perspectives about the importance of this faith in religious history. Today is Easter Sunday. So Christians all over the world are celebrating this day in a very special way. We find in the Old Testament all the Jews or Israelites were slaves under the most powerful empire of that part of the world, the Egyptian Empire. And the Pharaoh was the king of everything. And one little guy came out of the mountain named Moses and God told him, you know, you set everybody free. Tell the Pharaoh to let all the slaves free. And this was a serious thing. There were thousands and thousands. And he went before and said, set my people free. That's faith. And ultimately so many things happened and they got free. And then they all went into the desert. They were living in the desert. They were absolutely homeless. They had no food. They had nothing. They just followed into the desert for 40 years.
because he had faith that God would protect. And the story of Easter, Lord Jesus, he understood that the next day he would be tried and crucified. And in an olive forest, he was alone praying. And he said, "My Lord, please take this cup away from me. But ultimately, let your will be my will." He could have ran away. He could have escaped. But he had faith. That faith was not about just material protection. That faith is something beyond. Real faith in God doesn't mean that God is going to simply correct or make better my material situation. Real faith is God will protect if I take shelter according to his will. As Jesus was being crucified, he had complete faith in God's protection. And it was that faith that he told his crucifiers, he told God, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And on Easter Sunday, he rose out from his tomb and met all of his devotees. And the sign of Christianity is the cross. He had faith that even the worst scenario would be good. And it was. This is a universal principle. We find in the Srimad Bhagavatam little five-year-old Prahlad. His father was also the emperor of the universe, Hiranyakashipu. He was so powerful. And Prahlad, he didn't study karate. he didn't know yogic powers. He was a little five-year-old boy. But he loved Krishna. And his father considered this such a threat. It's a long story, but ultimately Hiranyakashipu said, "Either you reject your faith in God, or I will kill you." And little Prahlad, he just told his father, "I'm sorry to tell you, but you're in illusion." He said, "Take him to school and get this contamination out of his system." Then Prahlad was very respectful to his students, to his teachers, and the teachers thought he was a really good student, and they wanted Hiranyakashipu to be favorable toward them, so they dressed up Prahlad, and the mother bathed him and put nice clothes and ornaments on him, and he came before his father and sat on his father's lap, and his father, really powerful person, he said, "What is the best thing that you learned in school, my beloved little son?" And Prahlad said, Oh my father, best of demons. You think you are such a heroic person, but actually you have fallen into a blind, deep, dark well of illusion, and only Krishna can save you." He was very upset. He told him, "Unless you take the dust from the feet of great souls and bathe your body with it, you'll never understand what the perfection of life is." And he told him how to practice bhakti. His father was so angry. Now that takes faith, doesn't it? Can you imagine? He was all alone. He couldn't call 911 declare child abuse or something like that. His father threw him on the ground and said, "Kill this boy. If he doesn't die, then I will die.
That was his, and his son loved him. And he threw him in fire, and he threw him in pits of snakes, and he threw him in oceans, and he stabbed him with swords, and he fed him poison, and so many things. And little Prahlad, he never prayed, please protect my body. He just had faith. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the faith of a great soul in the Sharanagati, one of the songs. Maro birako bijo icha tohar nitya dasa pratitua adhikar. My dear Lord, if you want, you can protect me. If you want, you can kill me. You have every right to do anything you want with me because I am yours. I am your servant unconditionally. Manaso deho geho jo kichu mor arpilun tu aupade nandakishor. My body, my home, my wealth, my family, my everything, it is all yours, my Lord. You can do anything you like. That was the spirit of Prahlad. And therefore he was indestructible. All he wanted from the Lord is whatever happens to me, let me just remember you with love. That's all that matters. Whether I live, whether I die, let me just remember you with love. And the Lord protected him in every situation. And ultimately, Lord Narasimhadev appeared just for this little Prahlad. And we're still singing his glories today. Ambarish, he was a family man. And Durvas Muni was a great, great yogi, mystic. It's a beautiful story how Ambarish, even though Durvas Muni tried to kill him in the most horrible way, Ambarish had no fear. He only prayed for Durvas Muni's, for blessings to be on Durvas Muni. And ultimately Durvas worshipped Ambarish. We read the story of Draupadi when she was just being stripped by Dushasana. She was just a simple lady, dragged by the hair into an assembly of warriors. And in the assembly, the very envious Duryodhana wanted to insult her and totally discredit and tear to pieces the heart of her husbands. Strip her naked in front of all of us. Humiliate her. Worse than death. Draupadi turned to all of the great warriors in that assembly, but they were either intimidated by Duryodhana or they wanted his favors. So they all looked down on the ground in shame. Then this mighty person, Dushasana, he pulled at her sari to strip her naked. And Draupadi tried to do whatever she could. She chastised everybody there. You are all cowards. You have no ethics. They couldn't say a word. She tried to protect herself, but she couldn't. And as he pulled, she threw her arms in the air with complete faith that Krishna will protect me. And she cried out his names, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. And as he pulled the sari, pulled more, because Krishna's unlimited, he entered her sari and her sari became unlimited. The cloth around her body No matter how much he pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled, and she was spinning like a top, and he was pulling, pulling, pulling. There was no end to it. And ultimately, the whole room was filled of cloth. And he was exhausted. Because she had faith. In Krishna's Leela. On the basis of faith in little 7-year-old Gopal, they gave all the paraphernalia meant for Indra to Giriraj, to a hill called Govardhan. And Indra became so angry, torrents and torrents of rain. And ultimately, what did all the Brijavasis do? They ran to little 7-year-old Gopal and said, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. They didn't even recognize he was God, but they had total faith in him. Please protect us. And little Gopal ran out and lifted the Govardhan hill with the little finger of his left hand and held it up for 7 days and 7 nights. And it was the most joyous festival, as Govardhan hill served as an umbrella to torrential, devastating rains. Last week was the appearance of Ram, Ram Navami. And just a couple days ago was Hanuman Jayanti, the appearance of Hanumanji. I'd like to speak something on this subject. How many of you here know the story of Ramayana? Please raise your hand. I will not go into too much detail because I don't know how much time I have, and it's better if I don't know. Ravana. Ravana was such a selfish, egoistic, greedy person. He had tremendous powers that he gained through doing tapasya, austerities for Brahma and Shiva. And he disguised himself to steal Sita, Ram's consort and wife, from Ram. After he arranged for Ram to be in another place. And he took him. He took Sita to an isolated island in the ocean named Sri Lanka. And he was emotionally torturing her to surrender to him. He made her life so absolutely miserable. And he kept her there for a year, and every day would torment her. And when he wasn't tormenting her, he had her surrounded by his associates to torment her. Either you surrender to Ravana or you will die. At one point, Ram gave every opportunity for Ravana to settle this peacefully. But he was so arrogant, he would not accept. Ravana's younger brother's name was Vibhishan. Vibhishan was a Rakshasa by race. He was giving Ravana good advice all along. But don't you understand that Ram is the Supreme Lord incarnated in this world? Sita is his consort. Just be happy. You already have everything. You have a kingdom that you've made out of gold. You have Mandodari, the most beautiful woman, as your wife. You have everything and anything you want. Our whole dynasty will be destroyed if you continue with this immoral deed of keeping Sita away from Ram. Ravana became so angry, he screamed at his brother, threatened him in every way. If you were not my brother, I would kill you right now here on this spot. Vibhishan, he told Ravana, I'm leaving you. I have no obligation anymore. I can't be a part of this injustice. And he crossed the ocean with two of his assistants and came before Sugriva, who was the leader of the army of monkeys. And some of his ministers, and he said, I have come here to take shelter of Ram. So they went to Ram and told him. And Ram said, what is your opinion? And Sugriva, who was the general, the leader of all of them, the army, he said, we cannot trust this man. We should kill him. Three choices, only three choices we have. Either we kill him immediately, or we arrest him and keep him in prison, or we reject him and chase him away. But we cannot trust him. Ram asked everyone their opinion, and they all more or less agreed with Sugriva. Then Ram turned to Hanuman. He said, Hanuman, you are silent. Tell me what your opinion is. Hanumanji said, I saw his face and I heard his words. I believe he's genuine and sincere. He has come to take shelter of you, my Lord, with faith. We should accept him as our own brother, our own family, as one of us. When Hanuman said that, Sugriva became wild with anger. What? How could you talk like this? This is nonsense. He is very powerful. If we let him within ourselves, he's going to know all our secrets. He's going to know the inside of everything. He'll act eventually as a spy because blood is very thick. Now he may be angry with his brother, but when it comes down to a crisis, he's going to side with his brother. He has to be killed. And then Ram spoke very boldly. He said, everyone listen to what I speak and be witness to this. If anyone, even one time, with a sincere and honest heart, calls out, my dear Lord, I am yours, then I will give that person all shelter. And I will protect that person for all time to come. I declare it today before all of you, even if Ravana came before me to take shelter, I would protect him, forgive him for all time to come. At that point, Sugriva started to cry, and he said, my Lord, you are so kind. You are so compassionate. Let us bring Vibhishan. He's one of us. Now, how is it that Hanuman understood his face where no one else could? Understood his heart. It takes one to know one. What was Hanuman's faith? Previously, when they were looking for Sita, because they had no idea in the world where she was. When it was given the information that she was in Sri Lanka, Hanuman climbed a mountain and he had to jump over 800 miles of ocean. There was no islands in between, just ocean. Now, it's not that Hanuman was so proud of his strength. He had total faith that if he was doing the will of Ram, Ram would empower him to do it. That was a That was literally a leap of faith. Once you take a leap to jump across 800 miles of ocean, you can't change your mind. If you can't make it across, you're gone. Yes? But he had absolute faith that the Lord will empower me to do his will. And whatever may happen, whether I live or die, the Lord will be pleased with me. Sam Siddhir Haritoshanam. And he leapt. And he jumped all the way across by the grace, by the power of his faith in Ram. Mukam karoti vachalam pangyo langamitigarin. By the mercy of the Guru and the mercy of Madhava, the Supreme Lord, even lame men can cross mountains. Blind men can see the farthest stars in the sky. And dumb men can speak poetry. This was Hanuman. If any of us had the faith of Hanuman, we could do things like Hanuman too. But if you don't have that faith, don't pretend, because you'll end up in the middle of the ocean. We can't imitate, but we can understand the principle and embrace that principle. And then when he came to Sri Lanka, he was just a single person. What faith in Ram he had. First he gave solace to Sita, gave her Ram's message, Ram's ring. And then he wanted to do something more, and he started tearing apart the garden so that he would be arrested. He could have snuck out. He was arrested, he was tied up after a good fight, and he was brought right before Ravana, surrounded by all the soldiers of Ravana, tied helplessly. What faith he had in the protection of Ram. He told Ravana, You are an envious, greedy, egoistic demon. And you are a coward. Now all the rest of the stuff he said was kind of praising him from Ravana's perspective. But being called a coward was too much. He said, you stole Sita when Ram was not there. You will be destroyed. Give back Sita. Who would be willing to tell a tyrant so bluntly things like that when he has his army surrounding you? Ravana said, kill him! That time Vibhishan was there. Vibhishan said, actually, according to the codes of military, you're not allowed to kill a messenger of the enemy. Okay, then put his tail on fire and let him burn to death. Monkeys are proud of their tails. So they wrapped his tail with all kinds of cloth, and then they put it in very flammable oils and lit it. In Hanuman's faith that Ram would protect him, he saw it as an opportunity. Most of us would think this is a tragedy. If you look for opportunities, you find them. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the doors will open. So he was looking for an opportunity to serve. Yes, let my tail be on fire. And then somehow or other he expanded his body, then he contracted his body, and he slipped out of the ropes. Hari Hari. And he jumped on a roof and touched his tail, and the whole building went on fire. Then he went to the next roof, to the next, and the next, and he kept touching that tail. And the very fire that Ravana put it burned his whole city down. This is a karmic reaction. He started the fire, but because he did it with the wrong motivation, it came back on him. And then Hanuman called out in a loud voice, while the whole city was blazing, he said, "Ravana, just give Sita back, and you'll be fine. But I am just one tiny little insignificant servant of Ram, and you've seen what I've done. Soon Ram will be coming with an army of more powerful than you've ever seen." Still, Ravana had no faith. It's a beautiful story. When Hanuman returned to Ram in Kishkindha Kshetra, Ram was in exile at the time. He had nothing. He was staying at a cave called Malyavanta. And Hanumanji told him the whole story. And he gave him the jewel that Sita gave him to give to Ram, and the message that Sita spoke to give to Ram. A certain secret event in their life that no one knew in the whole universe except Sita and Ram. Sita told Hanuman to tell Ram that story. If we had time, I would love to tell that story. But we do not have time. It's a secret. When Ram heard this, he was so overwhelmed. This is the nature of the Lord. Although he's the controller of all controllers, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashashya, he is Bhagavan. He's all attractive because he possesses all opulences in full. He's the source of all beauty, all strength, all knowledge, wealth, fame, and renunciation. And that Lord, when he heard of the sincerity of Hanuman's faith and devotion, he became overwhelmed. He said to Hanumanji, "I have nothing to give you to award you for what you have done. I'm living in the jungles with nothing." He says, "All I have is my embrace." And Ramchandra embraced Hanuman, weeping tears of love for his devotee. And in that embrace, Hanuman was weeping tears in love for his Lord. There was nothing greater than that. Samsidhir Haritoshanam. More valuable than all the property on earth, all the wealth and power and fame and abilities, is Samsidhir Haritoshanam, is to please the Lord. Because when the Lord is pleased, the Lord gives himself. In embracing Hanuman, Ram gave Hanuman his heart unconditionally. Faith in the Lord as protector. Haridas Thakur, he was chanting God's names. He was born in a family without a caste, which in those days was taken very seriously 500 years ago. And he was arrested and brought before a king. The king said, "Haridas, why are you speaking from this Hindu religion? and chanting these Hindu gods' names. Why don't you follow your own religion? And Haridas laughed. He laughed at the king. He's a prisoner in chains. He says, I am now seeing the illusory power of Maya. There is only one God. That one God is the all-pervading, inconceivable proprietor, controller, enjoyer of everything that exists. That one Lord has many names as he comes in different places. In the Quran, he is known as Khoda. In the Vedas, he is Vishnu, Krishna, Narayan. His many names. He comes at many times, but he's the same one father of all living beings, the same one mother of all living beings. Aham bija pradapita. Krishna tells in the Gita, I am the mother and the father of every living entity in all creation. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. I'm the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfect engage in my loving service. Haridas Thakur said, what is this your God and my God? There is one God. And that one God has manifested to me as Krishna. And his beauty, his charm, his pastimes have completely captivated my heart. He is Hari. He has stolen my mind and heart through his love. They said, either you stop chanting and you stop telling other people about this, or you will be killed. Haridas Thakur said, you can cut my body into millions of pieces, and you can cut each of those pieces into more pieces, and every one of those pieces will share the love of God and the holy name of Krishna with whoever he meets. To give up my life is not difficult. But to give up showing compassion to others is impossible for me. That's the nature of one who loves God. Compassion. Not the kind of things we see today in the name of religion, or in the name of loving God, we are hateful, we are envious, we are egoistic, we are judgmental, we are violent. That's not love of God. That's not religion. That is simply egoism. Grabbing on to something called religion to serve its own purpose. Haridas, he was a realized soul who saw Krishna as the essence of every great religion. And lived to show compassion to others. The king said, take this animal and beat him in all 22 marketplaces till he's dead. They beat him and beat him. They dragged him by the hair in public. They were whipping him with sticks and whips, and spitting on him and kicking him and cursing him, and everybody around was watching. From sunrise to sunset, practically. On the 22nd marketplaces, the executioners were so tired they couldn't move their arms anymore. They said, Haridas, we don't know what to do with you. No one has ever survived 2 or 3 marketplaces, all 22. And yet you The whole time you're looking at us as if you feel sorry for us. We're beating you, we're killing you, and you're looking at you, with pity toward us. And the whole time you're chanting these names of Krishna. We don't know what to do with you. Because we couldn't kill you, we are going to be killed. And Haridas was so kind. He said, oh, I don't want that to happen. Just see what I will do. And he sat and chanted Krishna's name and died by all material standards. There were no symptoms. There was no pulse. There was no breath. There was no heartbeat. They took him and picked him up and threw him in the doorway of the king. The king said, what should we do with him? And some of the orthodox Hindus said, because he wasn't born a Hindu, he cannot be burned. And the orthodox Islamic people, the Qazi, they said he cannot be buried because he's a traitor. So what should we do with him, the king said. Throw him in the river like a piece of garbage. So they threw him in a river like a piece of garbage. And as he was floating down the river, something like Easter, he came back to life. He rose from the dead, like Jesus did on this day. He came out of the river. And you know what he did? Now, if you or me were him, we would probably go into the forest incognito. He walked right back into the village and went right back to the king to give him another chance. He went back to meet the executioners. And when the executioners and the king and everyone saw him coming back to forgive them, to show him affection and compassion, they actually fell at his feet and said, yes, you are a saint. That one God definitely protected you. Now you go and do anything you want, and we are happy. And in the line of these great acharyas, these great saints, our Srila Prabhupada. What was his faith? We all know the story. When he was 69 years old, he left Vrindavan, where he had a nice little room in the place of the Rasalila of Krishna and Radharani. He was living right beside the bhajan kutir and samadhis of Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami. Holiest of all holy places in the path of bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada was right in the heart of it all. And faith in the words of Krishna and faith in the words of his guru. His guru gave him an order in 1922. It wasn't even an order. Prabhupada would say it was an order. But his guru just... It was a suggestion. But Prabhupada took it as an order. So you are an intelligent young man. You should take the message of Lord Chaitanya, this Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, this inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference. It could accommodate and unite the world in such a wonderful way. People need to understand this message. It's the greatest urgency. 1922. He had no means of fulfilling it. But he prepared himself, and in 1965, I'm not a mathematician, I think that's 43 years later. Is that? Yes. He got on a boat in Calcutta
cargo ship
to New York City, all alone. He had 40 rupees, equivalent in those days to $7. I think now it's $1. But the problem is, in 1965, no one in America wanted rupees. You couldn't change it. So he virtually had nothing. He had an umbrella. He had a little box, he had a little bag of cereal he made. He had his japa mala, change of clothes, and a box of books that he had translated. That's all. It's a 38-day journey over oceans, and he had no idea if anyone in New York would be waiting for him. There was one little message from an acquaintance of his. The person's son sponsored Prabhupada to come. But he had no real understanding whether he would be there. Would you do this when you were 69? And he got on that boat, and a few days later he turned 70. There was no birthday party for him. I was with his son, Vrindavan Chandra Day. He was one of five people that saw Prabhupada off. The reason why nobody else came is everybody thought what he was trying to do was impossible. At his age, to establish anything in the Western world with no money, no followers, no acquaintances, nothing. Impossible. Everyone told him not to go. But he went. I asked his son, what were you thinking when your father was walking up the ladder on this cargo ship? And he had tears in his eyes. He said, I was proud of my father. A few days later, in the middle of the Arabian Sea, he had two heart attacks, severe seasickness. No medicine, no doctors, cargo ship. And he wrote beautiful stories and beautiful passages in his diary. How he was feeling such separation from all of his friends and his worshipable Lord in Vrindavan, that holy place. And how he was all alone on the ship with no one. But how he was so happy, because he was doing the will of Guru and Krishna. And ultimately, when the ship was just approaching America, he wrote some other poems. And what was his prayer? Most of us would pray, give me health. Have someone waiting for me. Give me a place to stay. What am I going to eat? These are considerations, especially when you're 70 years old. He never was out of India his whole life. But his prayer was, my Lord, please speak through me to affect these people's hearts. People in the world are suffering due to being overcome by passion and ignorance. Only if your words come through me, only if you give them the power to understand your words, is it possible. Let me just be an instrument of your grace. Let me be your puppet and make me dance as you want me to dance to reach these people's hearts and give them real happiness. such faith in the protection of the Lord. And a few years later, he was here in Chicago. And I think it was on State Street or something, there was a parade. And Srila Prabhupada was riding on the chariot with hundreds and hundreds of devotees. And soon he had hundreds of temples, millions of books. When I met him in India, somebody asked him, "Are you the guru of the world?" And Prabhupada looked to the floor with such humility. Tears of humility filled his eyes. And he said, "I am just the servant of everyone. That's all." Took no credit. That's liberation. The highest liberation. When we're just instruments of the infinite grace of God. These are the lessons throughout the ages of all the great religions. Faith in the protection of the Lord. It can help us overcome all obstacles. Because ultimately there's only one obstacle. Arrogance, ignorance, forgetfulness of who we really are. We have cited examples that are quite impossible for us to imitate. And we're not supposed to imitate. But what is important is the spirit of these stories. Why are they told to us repeatedly? Why are they revealed by great souls constantly? Because they are critical for us to imbibe, to understand the importance of cultivating that seed of faith, that seed of love, the bhakti lata bija that is within us. And to make it a priority. These six symptoms of surrender. They are the qualities of a person who is surrendered. But in bhakti, the way and the goal are the same. By cultivating these attributes, we become liberated from the shackles of our own egoistic ignorance. By learning how to take shelter of the names of the Lord. By learning to take shelter of such great scriptures as Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Shelter of the Lord who appears in the beautiful form in the temple, Kishore Kishori. And especially to take shelter of those who are taking shelter. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhya evacha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. That the devotees of the Lord, the sincere, genuine, earnest devotees of the Lord, their association gives us strength, helps us to refocus, and illuminates darkness with the light. Our sadhana, our spiritual practices, our satsang, our association, and our character, our own sincere effort to live with integrity. These three things are most powerful in attracting the Supreme Lord to reveal himself within our heart. Adoshadatas sadhu sangota bhajanakriya. This is the beginning of the real spiritual life. If a tree has strong roots, it can withstand all storms. By cultivating faith and love in the association of those who have, or who are striving for it, and sharing our spiritual practices for that purpose, then that grace, we can access that grace, and it will transform our lives and empower us to transform so many other people's lives. Thank you very much.